Good afternoon. This is Talking Travel with Sally, who couldn't hear us, but she should be able to hear us now. Welcome back.
Thank you.
It's been a couple of weeks.
Yes, a couple of weeks in the sunshine. I'm sorry, everybody out there who's in misery with this rain, but I've come back to it and had to cope with it as well. But yes, sunny Perth.
Well, hopefully you can bring some sun.
I'm going to encourage
Yes. Well, we're expecting some sun over the weekend, so we shall see. Now, where are we going today?
Well, I just thought we'd talk about, well, cold weather too. Pardon me, I've come back with a dreaded lurgy as well. Central America, which is that little isthmus of land, if you like, between North and South America that we don't often talk about, but it's got some very interesting history and some very interesting countries. Seven countries are contained in that one little area. And then we're going to talk about some luxury cruising as well.
All right, sounds good. We'll get to that shortly on 2NURFM. This is Talking Travel and we're talking Central America.
We are. I think it's sometimes the forgotten America. We talk about North and South, but we don't talk about Central America very often. And, of course, it has had its own problems over the years, as we all know, with issues over there. But they have sort of the reputation of being a dangerous destination. I mean, hasn't been helped by Trump either, deporting people to Venezuela and so on. But, I mean, the thing is, like anywhere, you check your smart traveller, you go when it's safe. They'll always give you warnings and always erring on the side of caution anyway. But you've got just such marvellous Mayan history. You've got stunning Spanish colonial architecture. It's a global biodiversity hotspot with animals and flora and fauna and bird life you won't see anywhere else in the world. And, of course, they all love a party.
They do. Who doesn't?
So that's a good thing as well. So, yeah, and you've got to be, as I said, be aware of it. Petty theft, avoid political demonstrations. You do all the usual sensible things. You don't walk alone at night through poor neighbourhoods or, do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think you could do the same in Newcastle and something could happen to you.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So seriously, it's just about
just be sensible.
Being sensible. Don't go overseas with this halo around your head like nothing's going to happen or nothing can go wrong. Everything will generally go right, but you've just got to help yourself as well, I think.
Don't carry wads of cash around.
Oh, God, no.
Flashing
I suppose that's
around.
Been a good thing with credit cards, even though they can get scammed now, and that's an issue as well. But also you've got these RFID readers now, so you can have your credit card safe where they can't read your card details, so that's always something you can do also. But yeah, it's seven countries you've got to realise in this strip of land, which isn't that big. So I'll just go through some of those, if I may.
Yeah, please do. So
Belize is the only country in Central America where Spanish isn't the official language. They speak English. And that's a legacy from the country being colonised by the British in the 1600s. And it later became British Honduras before it won full independence in 1981. But most of the population are actually trilingual and they speak English, Spanish and Creole.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Then you've got Costa Rica. Now, it is the one that is considered one of the most biodiverse of all these seven countries because of what it has there. Since 1948, Costa Rica has had no army and uses those funds for education and social security programs instead. Peace is now a central tenet of its constitution and it ranks 14th in the world, the US, by the way, 65th, on the percentage of GDP it spends on education. So experts say the population is among the most easygoing in the world, with their favourite phrase being pura vida, which means all good or closer to home, no worries.
Oh, lovely, like us.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. Guatemala, on November the 1st every year, Guatemala holds an All Saints Day kite festival. People in town called Sumpango fly giant circular paper kites up to 18 metres in diameter above the grave sites of family members to honour those dead ancestors. One year there were 90,000 kite flyers, more than double the population of the town.
Oh, that would be magnificent to see.
Wouldn't it? Then you've got Honduras, and Australians are quite fond of the term, are we Banana Republic? After being warned by then Prime Minister Paul Keating in 1986 that we were in danger of becoming one. But Honduras was actually the world's first country to attract the term back in 1904 when an American writer sounded the alarm about what he said was the country's over-reliance on the export of bananas.
No, you can never have enough bananas as far as I'm concerned.
20 years later, it became the world's biggest exporter of the fruit. So there you go. Nicaragua. The country's Lake Nicaragua is the largest freshwater lake in Central America, the world's only non-saltwater lake to contain ocean animals. bit like the Galapagos has some unusual animals that have adapted to different conditions. The most aggressive, which we really don't want to hear too much about, is the bull shark. On their discovery, science believed the sharks were a new species, but later discovered they were swimming into the lake by the San Juan River, which flows from the Caribbean Sea. So there you go.
So no swimming in the lake.
No swimming there, I'd say. Panama, because its position between the two oceans, it's the only place in the world where you can see the sunrise over the Pacific and set over the Atlantic. So it's famed, of course, for its 82-kilometre canal. But you can swim in the ocean in two seas, the Caribbean and the Pacific, on the same day if you want.
Lovely.
And then lastly, you've got El Salvador. And in 2021, it became the first country in the world to adopt Bitcoin as its official currency, as well as the US dollar. And with the rise of Bitcoin soaring, the value of the nation's cryptocurrency holdings more than doubled. But now, as a condition of the recent US loan from the International Monetary Fund, it has agreed to stop using Bitcoin because of its volatility. But like, how all these countries are just so interesting. And as I said, that the wildlife, the waterfalls, the lushness of the forest, seeing those sloths, are just the funniest looking creatures, aren't they?
With their
big long claws and their funny faces. And beautiful bird life. It's just, it's I guess, a little difficult to get to, because really the easiest way to get there is via America, through Dallas or Los Angeles or down Florida. You know, you can get down into these countries that way, and it's probably still the easiest way of getting to them. So I guess that's why we don't hear about them as much, but I think it's still nice to talk about them. It's nice to think about them. Do some research yourselves, listeners, because honestly, any of these countries, when you start researching, you see some of the photos, you'll be amazed at the beauty and the ancient history and the architecture and the wildlife. Just beautiful.
Lots of options there anyway, different options.
Exactly, and nothing wrong with that.
Well, that's right, nothing wrong with that. So, yeah, we're going to get to cruising shortly.
We will.
Yes. Your station 2 and URFM 103.7. This is Talking Travel with Sally Lucas. And you're talking about cruising, but on a yacht.
They call it a Sea Dream Yacht Club, and even though they're calling them yachts, they're not actually, I don't know what the proper definition of a yacht is. Maybe we've got to look that up on our Funken Wagnall.
I haven't heard of that for a long time.
I know. It's Google these days, isn't it? But yes, maybe we do need to do that. But they call their vessels yachts because they're small ship cruising and luxury small ship cruising. So they do call them yachts. Anyway, they're fairly spectacular, their journeys, and they're very intimate. And Sea Dream 2 just made its maiden call in London. And because of the size, she actually sailed past the city's iconic Tower Bridge. She went up the Thames, no other ships have done this, before docking alongside the historic HMS Belfast. So there you go. And from navigating the Grand Canal and docking just footsteps also from Venice's St Mark's Square, plus they do yachting along the Croatian and the coastline, and of course, getting into Dubrovnik and all those beautiful old towns. So where mega ships are actually, limited sometimes to even industrial ports that aren't right in town, or you might be out at sea doing your tenders into shore. So you're not always docked in the centre of where you're going to. So sometimes there's extra, you know what I mean, to-ing and fro-ing. So these yachts either dock or drop anchor in the world's most exclusive, hard-to-reach, really culturally rich cities and seaside towns where you can just, hop off the ship and there you are. So from the French and the Italian Rivieras to Spain's Balearic Islands, heart of Bordeaux, and they say their yachting voyages are designed for unhurried discovery, which is what you want, isn't it, when you're on a cruise?
Yeah, beautiful.
So they have lots of full day and late night and even overnight stays, which a lot of cruise ships don't have. They'll come in the morning and leave like late afternoon. So they're giving you as much time as possible in each port, so they get a deeper cultural connection and without the crowds that you get also on normal ships. With just fewer than 112 guests on board, and they have a dedicated crew member for each guest.
What?
Yep. So you've got as many crew as you have guests.
Well, they'd want to tip well.
So, So you... they offer a more intimate voyage so that you would get, and they have wonderful staterooms available on a lot of their itineraries, or a lot of their vessels, should I say. And, as I said to you, they do like Italian Riviera, they do the Spanish Riviera, they do the Western Med, the normal Med area as well. And with eating too, with their eating on board, no rushed sittings or fixed schedules.
So are they on like Fiji time?
So you can just eat and when you feel you like to eat.
Just have something.
You can even have a meal that's almost tailor-made for you.
Maybe so. That's why they've got the person, like everyone's got a person for themselves to go and cook and go and do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think that would be just, I can just picture myself. I know you can't see this, listeners, but I'm just looking at a picture of four people sitting outside on a deck with a beautiful linen tablecloth and half-filled glasses of wine and beautiful food in front of them. I'm thinking, yep. That would be nice. So they do everything from perfectly aged steaks to the first and largest plant-based menu at sea and everything in between. So their chefs will prepare virtually any dish that you request, vegan, gluten-free, high-protein, pescatarian, whatever. So that's really incredible as well. But you couldn't do that, of course, on a large ship, as you understand.
That's right.
You wouldn't have enough chefs to be able to offer that sort of, you know, availability.
And so, I'm just wondering, with all these different people for every person...
Yeah.
What if they're all in the kitchen at the same time?
They won't be.
No, too well,
they
many cooks?
They're not. Yes, no. The cooks are still limited to the kitchen,
right.
But what they're saying is they're not. You've not actually got one person allocated to you. You just have the equivalent of one person allocated to you. So there's always service in wherever you are. You know what I mean? So wherever you are, you're always going to have full attentive service because there's enough crew to
right.
cater for the amount of passengers.
Gotcha.
Okay, got me on that?
Yes.
So, yeah, as I said, you can dine when and where you want and you have these opportunities to al fresco dine as well so they can do some outdoor seating as well, which is really just quite incredible. So if you're thinking of doing something special, I think, on a yacht, or a lot, as they call it, a yacht, but as I said, it's a small luxury ship that's going to call into your ports. You're there, you're right there. You can enjoy the ambience of the town for a lot longer than you would normally. Plus, on board, you're getting this beautiful cuisine and you're just going to be pampered. And
sounds I think nice to me.
It sounds a way to go. It's the sort of cruising I like. Mm. I love small ship cruising. And I think that would be ideal. They mainly just do Europe and the Med. That's their you know, speciality, and into the UK as well, of course, as you just said, and it goes down the Thames even. So that's
lovely.
Quite remarkable to be able to go under the London Bridge and...
Amazing. And I like those cruises where you get to, you cruise, but you're not cruising all the time. You
no.
stop and then you get to explore.
Oh, yes.
Because otherwise you just feel like you've been stuck on a ship the whole time.
Yeah, especially ocean voyages, you do have more time at sea, as you can understand, whereas these are more hugging coastlines.
Mm.
So you're not travelling very far every day. And it's also that unpack once too, which is lovely on any cruise ship, obviously, where you're unpacked and that's it for your whole journey. You know, you don't have to worry about packing up the suitcase or anything else. So it's even if you've done a land tour to start with, it's a nice way to finish off.
Yeah.
And just have that lovely little bit of luxury at the end of your holiday, bit of pampering, bit of relaxing, because you're on the go when you're touring all the time, as you know, like you just want to see and do everything. So you cram to get as much into your days, you know. So to finish up on a short cruise, even for 8 days or something, I think would be just a lovely way to go.
Mm, I could do with a cruise right now.
I think we all could with this damn weather.
We all could. This is 2 and URFM Talking Travel, and we will get to Hot Deals very shortly.
Now, Colette Tours have got these are some finishing very, very soon, though, but I thought I'd throw them in there just in case you still haven't made up your mind for this year. This offer finishes on the 30th of May, so it's only another week. But Colette have got savings of $1,500 plus per couple on airfares everywhere to anywhere that they fly. Now, you've got to travel between now and the end of this year. You've got to book by, as I said, the 30th of this month. You can save $1,500 per couple on economy, $2,000 on premium economy and $3,000 on business. So that's not to be sneezed at if you're still making up your mind. That might encourage you to choose a Colette tour. And again, there's small group touring, which is excellent. And they go to just about any of the continents in the world as well. This is another one that ends fairly soon as well. It's the 1st of June. This one finishes with Coral Expeditions. And of course, that's going into a warm part of Australia. Broome, that beautiful Kimberley adventure. So this is for 2026, though, because this year's really almost sold out. But what they're doing, they're saying, enjoy a night on us before you sale. So they're just giving you a free night's accommodation before you board your Kimberley cruise. Now that offer ends on the 1st of June. On the go tours, this offer on the 2nd of June. So these are all a bit short-lived.
It's gonna
be quick. They've got discounts on a very various range of their popular tour locations like China, UK, Morocco, Vietnam. The discounts do vary, but it's anything like from 35, 40 or 45% off. So that's pretty substantial, and they only take 16 to 24 guests on any of their itineraries. APT have got a Best of Asia sale that ends 4 June. And so they've got a range of great discounts on select Asia trips departing this year into Vietnam, Cambodia, Japan and South Korea, with some great savings of flying free and saving anything from $2,000 up to $4,200 per couple. So these are good deals if you really haven't made up your mind yet, as I said. So fantastic. Now, spending Christmas on a festive voyage, we have talked about these voyages before, you know, the lovely Christmas cruises where you go to experience the markets.
My aunt's been on one of those. She said it was great.
Just delightful. Now, this one, you've got a little bit longer. So if you book by 30 June, you've got a range of lovely savings on some of the Danube, the Elbe, or the Rhine and the Main, savings of up to $4,800 per couple again to book by 30 June. And lastly but not leastly, Backroads have currently frozen their 2026 tours at 2025 prices, but not for long. So you need to do that before 30 June again until sold out. Again, they only take maximum 18 guests, range of beautiful tours throughout Europe. So look, there's quite a lot out there that have got some good savings still available. If you're still on the edge of deciding when to go or how or what, take advantage of some of these savings.
Yeah, they sound great. All right. Yeah. Well, hopefully next week it'll be sunnier and we can talk about some more sunny things.
I hope so.
And everyone's going to be happy and...
Yeah, not miserable.
No, that's right.
Well, let's hope we've cheered them up a bit today anyway.
That's right.
Even if it's only in their lounge chairs.
You're always cheery, Sally, anyway.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.